This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 61 of What's It Like. My guest is Jerry Smith, somewhere in Seattle. Hey, Jerry.
Hi.
Did you grow up in that area?
No, I grew up in Humboldt County, Northern California, a little town called Arcata, right on the ocean there.
Yeah, pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come from a large family?
You know, the average family, I guess, is three kids, and I was the eldest, so I ruled, but that's a whole other story. But I spent about 35 years there, and after that, I headed out for adventure and went up to Alaska and lived up there for about 7 years total.
Hmm. The Southeast Alaska or the...
Yeah, Juneau, Alaska. I was fortunate enough to get a really great art job. I was kind of like the art director of the city and borough. I used, with a head full of bluster, I used to say, oh yeah, I'm the art director of the capital city of the largest state and the most powerful nation in the world. But that was, my ego's been whittled down since then. So to be commensurate with its actual merit, but that's a whole other story too. Anyway, I ended up in Seattle 25 years ago and been there ever since.
When you were growing up, who had the biggest influence on your life?
Probably my father. Well, I'll say my parents in general, because they were very tolerant of me. And I didn't get in trouble or anything, but they just kind of allowed me to be who I was inside out, you know, all my idiosyncrasies and whatever. And I lived in a rural area, and they allowed me to just roam, you know, go out and hike around, climb trees in the heavy winds, and, you know, just kind of, also, just sort of be myself, you know. I mean, first, if you want to talk about influences, I would say Mad Magazine in the late 50s, but that's a whole other story as well. So, and to give you an example of what I mean by that, with Mad Magazine, they used to sell products in the back, you know, and one of the things that they sold was a Mad straight jacket with a picture of Alfred E. Newman on
yes.
it. You know what? Me worry. That was a worldview. Anyway, when I think about it now, it's pretty kind of weird, but they just allowed me to do that, you know, and of course they had to have my mother actually put the thing on and take it off, you know. So anyway, I mean, you know, I probably was kind of an odd kid in some ways, but like I said, I didn't get into trouble. So my parents, you know, I don't have to give it up to them. They let me be.
What was school like for you?
Oh, I always did well academically. If you went, if you grade two in high school and college as well. But I was always a late bloomer, so it's not exactly like I was totally involved in extracurricular things. I mean, I sort of lived inside my head in a lot of ways. That's why I was alluding to late bloomer kind of status. But I enjoyed it all, you know. I mean, I enjoyed the learning, and yeah.
Did you always want to be an artist?
Oh, that's, yeah, again, alluding to the late blooming thing, I was a kid who always drew, you know, made books and, you know, thought that in a creative way, I think, you know. But I don't think it was, maybe it was so obvious that I didn't even see it, you know, it's right in front of me. Sometimes things can, you know, those kind of things can be way too obvious. So I didn't really come to that till 32. I traveled around Europe. There's a whole big story here, but I went back to school. I initially majored in psychology, and then I went back about 10 years later and majored in art. And then I traveled around Europe and saw all the great art institutions. And finally, when I got back with $300 in my name at the age of 32, you know, I'll become an artist. Well, I always was an artist. So, you know, it was just sort of one of those way too obvious things that I didn't even realize. And so I got kind of a late start on that and, you know, proceeded from there. But I'm happy I did.
Mm-hmm. What exactly do you do?
Well, that's a good question. I think I've done a little bit of everything. I said to you that I grew up in Arcata. When you're an artist in a small town, you're kind of a little bit of everything, you know. So I did murals and graphic design, gallery, set design, sign painting, whatever it took. You know, I mean, it's dilettantism of the first order. And then over time, I've just sort of, I guess you could say, evolved, you know, or at least kind of got rid of certain things that I wasn't necessarily good at, or like sign painting or graphic design, but I, you know, or conversely, I realized what I was good at, making images and idea-based art. And so you kind of progress as a graphic designer and then a full-time editorial illustrator, meaning that I did interpretive images for magazines around the country and design firms and things like that. And now I'm more of a fine artist, although I still kind of dabble a little bit in some illustrative projects. Sometimes people say, well, what kind of artist are you? You know, and again, with a little bit of mock bluster, I go, well, I'm really a good one. But what I do is sort of humor-based imagery, you know, conceptual, kind of how I look at the world, which is steeped in absurdity and humor. And it's kind of coming from that, you know, I mentioned Mad Magazine and comics in general, I guess, too. It's sort of cartoon-based imagery, but fully realized painting, you know, in meaning that it's representational of whatever I'm coming up with, you know, with a full tone and so forth.
What's the best thing about your job?
Well, the best thing about my job is it's not really a job. It's what I love to do. And my vocation is my avocation. So I'm one of the lucky ones. Although I came late to the fold, I am lucky that I get to do what I love. Now, I must add the caveat that I'm hardly getting rich with this, but you know, it's what I do. Was it Robert Bly that talked about that follow your bliss sort of aphorism? I mean, I can come to it late, but I'm so happy that I've been able to do this. And again, with a sort of a broad-based, eclectic background, kind of like a pyramid, you know, where I fluff through all these other things and come to this final point now in 66, doing these space fine art sorts of presentations.
What's the worst thing about your job?
Well, like I said, I guess part of me wishes I could earn a little bit more money, but I'm really not complaining. I mean, I really can't complain. It's just a function of my lot in life and age and all that, and far be it for me to complain. I mean, I'd have to search for that. I feel very fortunate, actually, mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons.
What has surprised you about being an artist?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose the surprises is where it's taken me, you know, because I never knew that I could even go this far with it, you know, to be able to, oh, I don't know, do campaigns. I did a campaign for MTV, for instance, or billboards across America, things like that, book covers. I mean, I would have never imagined that I would have been able to access that, you know, or been involved with these things. And also working with highly creative people and collaborative, in a collaborative sense. So, that's the thing, you know, it's, to me, being an artist is part of being forever curious and then discovery, so you're never completely sure where you're going to end up, you know. I mean, people have asked me similar questions, and I said, well, one of the reasons I was drawn to be an artist is because there's a kind of blurring of boundaries, you know. You know, you're not constrained necessarily, and of course, that's not for everybody, but sometimes that can be a little ambiguous, you know, too. But overall, I have to say that whatever surprises have come my way, I'm happy to take them on because it's about growth and evolution, too.
What type of person would be good at your job?
I used to be a teacher, too, and I would sort of ask the students, you know, what are they looking for here? Because it takes a certain kind of mindset and a certain kind of personality to deal with the ups and downs of the money aspect and just the open-endedness that I alluded to. But so I think it takes a person who's very curious and is willing to just be open to where it's going to take them. I mean, certainly have goals and such, but, you know, this is not like a finite step-by-step career path, hardly,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially these days, really changing technology and so forth.
If I wanted to become an artist, how would I go about getting a job like that?
I don't frame it so much as a job. It's more of who you are inside out, you know. I mean, it's kind of a shame maybe, but I mean, I think every kid is creative and has that potential, but then for various reasons, you know, get stomped out of you, whatever. But I think it is kind of a calling. You know? I mean, somehow you get over all, you work through all that stuff, and it's just who you are inside out, I think, you know. So I guess I don't think of it so much in terms of a job. Of course it is, and it requires, you know, a certain business sense and you know, vision and discipline and all those rigors and aspects of other jobs, but personally, it's just more of a who I am. So, and I must follow these dictates, that sort of thing, you know. I must obey my master, the muse, and all that sort of thing.
If there is such a thing, what's a typical day for you?
Well, I guess, you know, having this open-ended scenario, like I said, you have to apply a certain or a certain overlay of discipline too, you know. So I try to be disciplined as I can in the morning. I do all my email stuff and whatever, letter, you know, business things. But I always try to paint every day and work on various projects. I have a number of different things going on. So I do that through the day, and then I go do my gym work. And then I also work at night, too. You know, I love, one of my favorite things, and I guess this is one of the bonuses of doing what I do, is that, you know, I get to paint, which I still love after 35-plus years. You know, it's kind of, it's like meditation, you know. It's relaxing but stimulating at the same time. And, you know, after doing it for all these years, the knack or the skill level is just sort of there, you know, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I do that every day. And then the other, you know, it's not completely just that sort of one-dimensionality too. I travel and hike and do other things too, of course.
Do you have gallery shows or places you have to go to show your work?
Sure, yeah, there's that. I do have a couple affiliations and I get involved in theme-based shows, and sometimes I just pitch things too. For instance, next week I told you that I don't really involve myself so much with illustrative things, you know, working with other people, collaborative or whatever. But next week I am actually going to have a show of these large donut paintings, and it's a project I initiated with a local great donut place called Top Pot Donuts, and I'm going to have a bunch of donut paintings and a print, some prints of all these donuts too. So it's kind of like a one-off illustrative project, but it is something I initiated, you know. We'll see where that goes. So I don't know. There's some routine aspects of it, or discipline, as I said, but then it sort of takes me places that I didn't expect to. And that's again, you know, that surprise and curiosity and discovery is something that I guess I always wanted. So I'm not completely sure, even though I have a semblance of a discipline with different things I do every day, like exercise or paint or, you know, things like that. See my friends or my kids, mm-hmm. or whatever.
So, Jerry, everyone has to give themselves motivation occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Was it Thomas Edison that said perspiration comes before inspiration or something? I mean, I think there is such a thing as a muse, but I think it's kind of something that you work at yourself. I mean, if I have a Zen cone, it's a muse myself, you know. A muse is myself, or the humor aspect of amusement or whatever. So I don't have any problem getting motivated or finding that sort of inspiration, because it's everywhere. It's just an act of doing on a daily basis, that kind of regimen I was talking about. But it comes from, I'm a big music fan, I get inspired by that, or I'm a backpacker, I get inspired there. Whatever gets you emotionally excited and spiritually excited, I mean, that can lend itself into other projects too. So I think it comes from a lot of different ways. But I guess I'm also saying that you have to continually work at it too. I mean, you got to work, and then it comes from that. It's just it's like a circular kind of thing, I guess. But I feel like I'm always sort of engaged. That would be another way to put it too, I guess.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to soothe yourself, how do you calm yourself down?
Calm myself down? Oh, well, if you're suggesting stress, I don't really have that problem. I do exercise, you know, and weight training and all that. So that's always a calming thing, I guess, and running and physical things like that, you know. But I don't know. If you're talking about emotional makeup, I guess I don't go too far one way or the other, you know. I'm kind of stable in that sense, if that's what you mean.
Is your art more stimulating or more calming, or how does it impact you?
I think it's all of those things, you know. That's what I said earlier. I said it's kind of like a meditative act, you know, because with anything, if you develop a knack over time, you don't really think about it. You know, it's not really work. It's just what you do, and you've arrived at a certain skill level, and so it's relaxing and stimulating at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a meditation in many ways, so something I enjoy. So,
is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Well, yeah, I think probably when I was in my early 30s and not really happy with my lot in life for a number of reasons, or late 20s, I should say. You know, I wasn't really developing my potential. And back again, I'm saying, you know, I'm alluding to the late bloomer thing. But, you know, I did make things happen. I traveled a lot up to that point, but I'd never really moved away from the provincial town of Arcata, California. And so I decided to take an adventure, and I went up to Alaska, and that kind of opened up a lot of things. And then I got this great art job up there, too, and then really kind of expanded things. So that was challenging because I wasn't really pleased with how things were in some ways inside out. You know, I could see that I had more potential, but it took a long time. You know, a lot of young people know who they are very early on. Well, I really didn't. I guess I have already talked about that. So it was challenging. How do you make that work you know, financially and spiritually and so forth?
If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college graduation, what would you say? What would be your best advice?
Well, I guess I kind of suggested something along those lines, is knowing yourself, your deepest core, you know, who you really are, and try to find something that suggests or prods that potential, that you know, how to put this in words. It's just knowing who you are and what you want to do. I guess it involves a lot of self, you know, probing oneself. You know, was it Socrates that said a life unexamined is a life not worth living? Well, I probably have exams all the time, you know, trying to figure this stuff out. But when I was younger, I think it was challenged because I had a dead-end job. I mean, a degree in psychology is a dead-end job, and on and on, you know, and so it took a long time to figure all that out, you know. But for young people, I just say, that, again, you know, find out what you love and try to figure that out from there, whether you can make a living on that. But if you figure out something, if you find out what you love, then it's not really a job. So it goes back to some of your other questions, too. You know, you're doing what you should be doing. But that's easy for me to say, I guess. You know, it's just not everybody's cut out for that or whatever. But that's what I believe anyway, and that's what I tell young people when I used to be a teacher, too. So,
how did you discover that art is the right place for you?
Well, you know, I keep saying this message of I didn't, it was so obvious to me, but yet I didn't act on it for whatever reason. I have no regrets, but I could even go back to kindergarten, you know, when my teacher said, well, okay, you guys, I want you to draw your favorite animal. Well, I had just, my parents would take me to a farm or something, and I remember seeing some sheep, you know, and I was just thought, wow, those are cute, you know, little pillows with heads or something. And so I set about drawing a sheep, and we had large Crayolas, and I started making these circles, and I put a little head on, little stick feet or something. And 5 minutes later, I just couldn't believe it. It's like I'd given birth to a sheep, you know. I mean, it was like something that was in my mind that was realized. And so I never forgot that, because it really was that creative moment, you know. And so, yeah, I put it off for a while, but I've never forgotten that. And it kind of, it's always in my mind, you know. Well, that's never, you know, about imagination and acting upon it and creativity and all those things. I mean, that's what I'm kind of all about, you know. So it's a seminal moment in kindergarten, I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Was there a particular moment or event that helped you to realize that art was what you wanted to do?
Well, that would be that moment, but it had to be confirmed, you know, down the road, or validated, I guess, with many different things, you know, going to art school or entering a competition. I mean, I just took a long time for me to figure that stuff out, even though, again, it was always really apparent, certainly in hindsight. Well, that's who I always was. You know, I loved, you know, if you look at creativity, you know, have it bringing a fresh attitude to every experience, every moment. I mean, it is kind of a worldview too. And I guess I'd been that way, but through an accumulation of various experiences, it kind of reaffirmed that, you know, over time. But geez, again, I was 31 or 32, you know, so there's a lot of things, but I think I always go back to that seminal experience in kindergarten, oh, so many years ago, I was five. So.
When you were 31 or 32, was there something that said art is where I should be?
Well, I'm giving you this sort of piecemeal here and there. I just graduated with an art degree, and so to travel around in Europe in the great cathedrals of art, you know, the Louvre or the Uffizi in Florence, in Rome, and on and on, to see some of these things writ large or the real deal, you know, not a two-dimensional image on a page, was really amazing, you know. I mean, it was just rocked me in a lot of ways and reaffirmed all those things that I'd been thinking about anyway, you know, to have close contact with some of the great masterpieces of art. So that was a trip, half a year traveling around Europe, and you know, a lot of other things happened too, but after graduating and then seeing all those these great examples of world's art around Europe and New York City too, that's probably the thing that finally was the final blow to really get me going, you know, when I got back again. You know, it's kind of ridiculous in some ways. Here I'm 32 or whatever, very little money, but time to, you know, hang out my shingle and get my artistic license validated and all that sort of thing. So I guess it's a lot of things, you know, it's not any one thing, but I look back and that was around 1976 and so forth. Those were seminal years for many different reasons. I went back to school, you know, after, I mean, that was part of changing my life too, deciding, well, this is, I need to go do that too, get an art degree and see where that leads me. All after that, you know, I traveled around, like I said, and so it's just a series of things, but to isolate any one thing is kind of hard.
Why did you decide to go to art school?
Well, like I said, you know, I was kind of frustrated in some ways. I mean, I had a degree in psychology. I should add that psychology and art are still kind of, you know, really my two favorite disciplines, and they reference what I love, you know, human behavior and creativity. But I went back to get my degree because I was frustrated with things and wasn't happy with where I thought I should be, you know, and I wasn't any young thing anymore. I was 29 or something like that. So I finally willed myself to do that, and back when college was cheaper, I should add. Incredible. That's a whole other story, huh?
But why art? Why not go on in psychology? Why not pick up business?
Well, I don't think I mean, I'm interested in psychology. I'm interested in humans, you know. I mean, that's human behavior. But I did a little counseling and this and that, but I don't think I was cut out for it, you know. So it's just like an interest, you know, or a hobby or something. But I needed to really activate my creativity and get going on that. And there's so many instances of that. For instance, 1972, you know, I was working on some of my own pieces, and I entered in this regional-wide show, and I won a first place, and it was remarkable for me because the other winners of that particular show were all college professors, you know, professionals and all that. So that would be a little element of a wake-up call, too, or, hey, maybe you have something here, you know. So I could never... when I was young, I just couldn't seem to convince myself that this was the way to go. And I don't know. I mean, my parents used to say, they were great, but my mom would always say, well, gee, Jerry, maybe you should get a degree in education, too, and to teach, which I did do. But the idea being, well, so you have something to fall back to. So I should start by thinking about falling back, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like two steps forward, one step back or something. I remember that. So it wasn't exactly like a resounding a motivational thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to add that, you know, living in a rather conservative area, at least in the early 60s, you know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of peers or people to to have as role models as artists. I mean, I just didn't grow up in that kind of environment, you know, so I had to kind of figure that out myself, which I did.
My last question is just to ask you if there's anything you wanted to say that you haven't said, or a story you wanted to tell that you haven't.
Oh, I don't know. I think I've been blathering on about everything and nothing. extrapolate what you need, folks. I do believe that you have to, I don't know. I'm always amazed at people that know who they are and what they want to be when they grow up when they're young, because I was virtually clueless, you know? I mean, I certainly had my interests and hobbies and such, but, and I look back and I can see so many different obvious sort of signs of, oh, well, yeah, this is what I do, you know? I mean, but that's all hindsight, right?
Yes.
So I don't know. I just think people need to look into themselves and find out what they love and their passions and all that sort of cliche ridden in some ways, but I do believe in that. So that's my story.
I want to thank Jerry Smith for joining me today. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely. It's fun.
If you'd like to leave a comment, ask a question, or get more info, go to whatsitlike.info.